Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Welcome, everybody. Great to have you with us today, the day after impeachment. So what does it all mean? And what do you think about Nancy Pelosi's threat to not send the articles of impeachment over to the Senate? What difference will that make? Well, we'll get into all of that. We also want to talk a little bit about the best political cartoons in Oregon for 2019. I think you can vote if you go to OregonWatchdog.com and click on the link, and you can go to Oregon Catalyst and vote on the best political cartoons. And there are some great ones. And we'll get into that. By the way, NORPAC, the story in the Statesman Journal about NORPAC might actually be bought and could reopen at least the Salem and the Brooks facilities, but maybe not Staten. The Staten facility is quite old. Now, NORPAC has gone under because of mismanagement. There's no question about that. It's been happening a long time. And the boards of directors, which are farmers, because it's a co-op, folks, has let this happen. They're going to pay the price, or many of them will, and probably the ones closest to the Staten facility. Now, I have several friends that are farmers out there. This is a big deal to them. It's everything to them, and it is left them scrambling, and some of them are left in this Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Now, again, remember, a Chapter 11, everybody gets gets a little something. It's whatever the judge says they're going to get in small amounts of money. It's usually pennies on the dollar. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really hard. The impact on some of these farmers, especially around the Staten area, is going to be profound if the Staten facility doesn't reopen. Now, set that aside. It's also going to be hard by given the fact that they're not, even if they get new contracts, they're still owed a lot of money, and they're going to settle for cents on the dollars, according to the bankruptcy judge. This is going to be hard. The impact will be felt, and it will trickle down through the entire economy, and not just in Staten, but in other companies that do business with them all around the Salem and the Albany area. I hope this deal falls in place. The deal to buy the remaining assets and inventory of NORPAC, which has a good product line. It has a distribution channel, and I hope they can make it work. I truly do, because they need to. So, speaking of impeachment, I was just watching Fox, and the Washington Post reporters held a post-impeachment dinner, and again, you want to talk about people who are absolutely against the president? They were celebrating Trump's impeachment, and they tweeted about it. It was just on the screen. Now, there's a lot of fallacies around this, and we're going to get, and Pelosi's going to speak in the next hour, and then McConnell's going to speak here at the bottom of this hour. So we'll see what they say. My guess is that Pelosi's going to walk back her threat to not send over the articles of impeachment because, folks, it won't matter. It won't matter at all. But the headline here on the Oregonian is most interesting because this is completely illogical. Now, how many members are there in the Oregon congressional delegation, Republican and Democrat? How many congressmen, how many senators? Well, we have five congressmen, and we have two senators. Now, I may be just a graduate of high school and a college dropout, but, you know, even I can do the math there. That's seven, right? Well, just read the headline in the Oregonian today. Trump, here's the headline, Trump impeachment. Oregon's congressional leaders lend 8 yes votes. What? So apparently somebody, whoever it is that wrote the headline, can't count, which shouldn't inspire a lot of confidence in anything else that they would write, but it is the Oregonian, right? There are only 7 members of the Oregon congressional delegation. 8 yes votes. So how do you come up with 8? Well, first of all, only the members of the House, which are 5, could and did actually vote. Greg Walden is the only one who voted no on impeachment on both articles. Everybody else voted yes, including Kirk Schrader, whom I used to serve with in the House of Representatives and then when he was in the Oregon Senate. So I don't know where they get 8, but Wyden and Merkley, our 2 U.S. senators, did not vote, could not vote. Now, they're saying they agree, because they released statements, that they agree with the House's vote, but come on. Headlines mean everything. And this is one of the worst instances of an abusive headline that leads to erroneous conclusions that I have ever seen. Kudos to the idiot who cannot count who wrote this headline for the Oregonian. Stunning. But it shouldn't. It shouldn't surprise any of you. Now listen to this. Breitbart has a story today by Joel Pollack, who's one of their accomplished writers. He's also a lawyer in California. He writes, regarding Nancy Pelosi's supposed threat to not send over the articles of impeachment, he writes, the Senate can acquit even if the House withholds the articles of impeachment. Now, look, I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on TV. I don't have a lot of knowledge about this, but what I've read so far and what I have seen from those who immediately after Trump's speech, because that he just gave a barn burner of a speech, although I think there's one part of that speech that he didn't need to do, and I'll get into that a little bit later, and I think it was a mistake, and I think it's just part of his nature that I don't like, and I'll just be very honest with you. But the fact that he was celebrating his great accomplishments last night while he's being impeached was most interesting to me. But it was also how he was characterizing it. Now, it was pretty obvious watching him last night, and I watched the whole 2.5 or 2 and 20 minute show. I watched it all because I wanted to see his reaction. And you know what? He was just having fun. He really was. And the thing that I find interesting about Trump in when he gives one of these rallies, which is really where he's in his element by far, because he goes off teleprompter constantly. And he really does it in a very humorous way. I mean, it's a very dry sense of humor, but it's really quite funny. Pretty obvious that he was having a great time. It really was. He was enjoying himself last night because I think he knows what the outcome of this is. I think we all know what the outcome of this is. Trump is not going to be impeached. And I think that he was having fun, and he said he was having fun last night. It's so much fun, he said, I think 2 or 3 occasions. Because he knows that this, just like the New York Post headline today about all these Democrat women in the House of Representatives, including Nancy Pelosi, wearing black, signifying how somber this was, and her stifling of the reaction with the first articles when they were voted to impeach, how she looked at everybody, waved her little piece of paper, up, shut up, don't celebrate, like the Washington Post folks. Yeah. Wearing black. New York Post headline said it's her funeral. You think it is? Do you think that will really have an impact on enough of those House districts? I mean, look, 2 Democrats voted against the articles of impeachment, one of which is going to has already made known, this New Jersey guy, that he's going to switch to being a Republican. And a third one, when it came to the second article, voted no. Is that really enough? Are voters going to remember this? Now, I'll share with you that I think they will. And I'll tell you why. Because it no longer, it doesn't matter how long this trial goes. People are going to remember this, and they should, because it is far from fair. Even Greg Walden, who, if you read his comment in the Oregonian story about the 8 yes votes, it's really most interesting because he literally lays out the facts. There is no crime committed here. Kurt Schrader says there is, really? Well, how come those crimes weren't listed in the articles of impeachment? In fact, how come abuse of Congress, which is not listed as a reason in the Constitution, is not listed as a reason for impeachment? How come crimes like bribery, extortion, all of these things were not listed? Most interesting, isn't it? Well, the reality is, folks, is that people are going to remember this. And Trump's not going to let people forget it. And what I guarantee you that Trump will do is he will go into each of these House districts where these Democrats were elected in districts that voted for Trump. I can guarantee you Trump will spend time there and remind those voters. The House will flip. That's my prediction to you right now. And I think that the reason it will flip is not just because the revulsion of these Democrats in doing what they've done, but it's going to be everything else that's going to happen. It's going to be an acquittal in the Senate, and it's going to happen, folks. And we'll get into that when we come back from the break here, because Joe Pollack writes in the Breitbart article that the Senate can acquit even if the House does withhold the articles of impeachment. But it's also what's going to happen this summer when John Durham's report comes out and the deep state coup is there for all to see. And yeah, some people are going to be arrested and probably go to jail. And let's hope that they're not just lower level people, but some of these senior people that have been all over the news media, like Comey, like Brennan, and Clapper, and that weasel. And, you know, normally I don't talk this way, folks, but I tell you, that weasel, Andy McCabe, throwing the rank and file lower FBI agents under the bus, saying he didn't know they made the mistake on the FISA application. Yeah, I especially want to see that guy go to jail. This has to stop, and the only way it stops is if people get sentenced to prison, folks. When we come back, Joe Pollack, how the Senate can acquit even if Nancy withholds the Articles of Impeachment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 22 minutes past the top of the hour. Are you worried that this is going to negatively impact Donald Trump's reelection? No, I'm not. In fact, if anything, I think it guarantees his reelection. Am I right about that, or am I wrong? What do you think? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Or you can send me an email to jeff@1220.am. And yeah, there's a few emails there that I will get to you. But I wanted to get to this piece by Joel Pollack in Breitbart. Here's the headline. Senate can acquit even if House withholds articles of impeachment. Let me just read this article. It's relatively short, but it you'll get the sense of this. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, appears to be considering an idea Democrats have floated for several days of holding back the articles of impeachment to exercise leverage over the Senate and Mitch McConnell. Last night, she declined to formally transmit the articles to the Senate after the House voted to impeach. Unfortunately, Pollack writes, unfortunately for the House, the Senate can act regardless and would vote to acquit. That's because the Constitution, he writes, is absolutely clear about the Senate's authority. Article 1, Section 3 says the Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. That is all. The Chief Justice presides over a trial involving the president, but the Senate makes the rules, and the Senate is controlled by Mitch McConnell, who regards what the House has done with contempt. Now, we're going to hear from him in about 6 minutes. And then he writes, you're in cocaine Mitch's court now. That's a laughable line that we all use about a ridiculous moniker that was applied to Mitch McConnell because his wife is from a family that owns Chinese ships, and apparently one of those ships had cocaine on it, and so they call him Cocaine Mitch. He was accused of that by a Republican running against him in the primary. It's stupid. Anyway, Politico outlined the Democrats' new idea, Pollack writes, citing constitutional lawyer Lawrence Tribe, but not the Constitution itself. Pelosi hopes to pressure McConnell into holding a fair trial. This after she and her party broke every relevant House rule and precedents and several amendments to the Bill of Rights, all in the name of their sole power of impeachment. They forgot that a fair trial, now get this, a fair trial applies to the accused, not the accuser. The accused, not the accuser, and has since 1215. Set aside for the moment that holding on to the articles of impeachment would contradict everything that Adam Schiff and the Democrats have said for weeks about the urgency of impeachment. They needed to stop him before he could cheat in the next election, we were told. And that's why the House could not wait for the courts to rule on the White House's resistance to stop congressional subpoenas. All of this would be exposed as a lie. If Pelosi refuses to submit the articles of impeachment to the Senate, McConnell can convene the Senate anyway, can summon the Chief Justice and swear in the senators as jurors. Democrats can boycott, but they can't stop the trial. McConnell can then propose to dismiss the charges or even hold a vote to acquit the president. Pelosi can hide the articles of impeachment in Adam Schiff's basement forever, and it won't make a bit of difference. Case closed. Now, this is absolutely true, that irrespective, look, the House has gotten everything they wanted out of it. And the only reason that she would withhold the articles of impeachment is to try to make the case for her base and maybe a few of the swing voters that the Senate isn't going to hold a fair trial. Now, that's what Schumer has been setting up, and a lot of people have talked about this, so I'm not going to go into it, but the reality is this. McConnell can go ahead and hold a trial. And the case managers from the House don't even have to show up. Now, obviously, if the articles of, I mean, they wouldn't want to because they would again be exposed for lying about all of this. And for the fact that a trial is held and a case is made and defended. And in our system of jurisprudence, you are innocent until proven guilty. The accused has rights. In this case, Donald Trump has rights. Rights he was not afforded due process during the kangaroo courts that were convened by the House. Now, again, I say to you, that I think all of this is going to lead to a sense of unfairness. Now, this is what we talk about on this show. it's not fair the way this thing was conducted. It was unfair. Now, the interesting thing about our system, our republic, our whole concept is fairness. You know, you are, again, endowed with inalienable rights given to you by a creator, by God, and not a government. But in the process of governance, there has to be fairness. The reason that our founders wrote the Constitution the way they did, and then our Bill of Rights, was because in human history, there was a lot of unfairness in everything. That's why this wonderful experiment that we are as a nation, a constitutional republic, has been so successful. Because it puts in place a system of governance that is by far the most fair there has ever been. Now, I, for one, think that this is not lost on the average person. And when it comes to talking about impeachment, and you're going to hear a lot about it today, probably in your world, if you're on your way to work, if you know that you're going to a civic meeting today or a school board meeting tonight or whatever, there'll be some talk of impeachment. Use the unfairness argument and use the fact that Pelosi might withhold the articles of impeachment to try to force the Senate to do what they wouldn't. And that's hold a fair hearings process that they denied the president in process. You think that works? It's 6:30 in the morning. Back in a moment, my friends. You're listening.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
All right, we're watching Mitch McConnell. I can't tell you what he's saying until I see what they write on the Chiron. Democrats conducted the most rushed impeachment inquiry in modern history. So he's addressing the House impeachment issue. I'll let you know what he says as we go along here. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talking. We're going to go to the phones in a moment. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. And I got an email from Wolfie Wolftone, about the Oregonian headline. Apparently the headline writer can't count, saying that Oregon lends 8 yes votes. There's only 7 members of the congressional delegation and only 5 of them voted. Anyway, Wolfie writes, 7 people can vote 8 times by having 1 vote twice. We see this a lot by people voting in place of dead people, voting in place of others, etc. But like you said, there could only be 5 in this situation. Well, first, another sterling example of the mainstream media's competence. Yeah, well said. Let's see. This House of Representatives lets its partisan rage create a toxic precedence. That's what McConnell is saying. Let's go to the phones. We'll start first with Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning. What do you have to say about impeachment today?
I believe that the Oregonian article is the beginning of them finishing this with the Republicans impeached Trump. It doesn't really matter what the article says as long as the headline is there. And I have jotted down over a page of lies that they've passed off on us. They don't value truth, and the truth is whatever they make it to be at the moment that's convenient. And if you remember the 60s, they have convinced the of Americans that God is dead and evolution brought about life. America killed the Indians when it was actually a Democrat president that did the huge massacres. They've convinced young people that Jefferson was an atheist, and they're working on trying to get Americans to believe that America was founded in atheism and communism. And they taught us that and also took away our lands under the premise that the spotted owl had to have old growth timber to make its nest. They're currently working on global warming, and all the lies are science, quote unquote, settled science. The Crusades are the worst massacres in history. Nixon's impeachment is the worst presidential example of the worst example of a president. Republicans run the KKK. These are general things that people are taught by the Democrats. America was founded. Oh, let's see. I already said that one. American general ran slavery when they came together as the northern states were free and the southern states were slaves. And besides that, the white man is a bigot and a homophobe and all that stuff.
Right. So your point is that the left lies about both our history and about what's going on today, and they justify it.
Under Obama, we learned that corporations are not people. It doesn't end, and they don't care. They do not care what the truth is. The truth is whatever they say it is, and soon we're going to learn that the Republicans did it, and then after that, it will just be that the America impeached Trump.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
They're going to speak their own truth.
All right, so there's a subset of people in America who don't watch Fox, who don't listen to talk radio, but watch CNN, listen to the liberals, and they believe everything that the left's lies that you've just articulated, you've written down, they believe that stuff. So, Rebecca, let me ask you this question. How do you think those people's minds can be changed? And how?
Hitler said if he controlled the children, he didn't need the parents. The schools right now are pushing the parents out. In fact, they're even taking kids away from parents who try to intercept their child from having a sex change operation, which is another whole lie.
You're not answering my question. Answer my question.
Okay, go ahead.
So I asked you, these people who believe the lies you've articulated, what can happen to change their minds?
Well, I don't know. We have a young Democrat man living with us right now, and I've been trying to get him to unbelieve some of these things that he believes, and I don't know how you get them to change their minds. It's like if you try to present truth to them, they believe that there is no such thing as truth. I'm talking about in general, not just this young man, but there's a general thing that they start out with in the schools to disassociate their minds from truth. The communist thing is that they break the mind into pieces right from the start so that they really are mentally ill, I believe, by the time they go through the public school system and have this kind of stuff done to them where they don't believe there is actually any truth to search after by the time they've had 12 years of it.
So the brainwashing of children starting in the educational system is one of the main obstacles that is going to have to be countered if we're going to
absolutely we
help people.
This is why your premise that homeschooling could save America is so vital. That parents need to reassert control over their children, and the state will fight you. Look at the OEA that just said that parents don't have the right to celebrate that November is the month that parents can be recognized for being involved in the kids' schools.
I know it's a stunning thing. Rebecca, I need to let you go.
Their agenda happens.
Thanks, Rebecca. I appreciate you calling in. I need to let you go because we've got to move on. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. There's a number of people who are going to buy into this impeachment. Obviously, the liberal press and the liberals, but what about the people in the middle? Are there people that are persuadable? And how would you persuade them on the issue of impeachment? Was it a fair process? Dwight wrote me an email before we go to our next caller. And he said, well, the Democrats are moving in our direction. According to Nancy, they are now willing to say, Merry impeachments. Yeah, and then James wrote me an email about Queen Nancy. PBS NewsHour intro was Pelosi gaveling the first article had been adopted. She could hardly keep the smirk from her face. Multiple orgasms for everyone. You know, that's really true about the smirk on her face. You could see it. It was very, very, that was just evident. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Art. Art, good morning. What do you have to say about impeachment today?
Can you hear me, Jeff?
I can.
Hey, stay
tight to the phone so you don't fade in and out.
Well, I'm using the regular landline, not my cell phone today. So first, let me say, Jeff, you can't see me, but I'm wearing black today because I'm in mourning for the Democratic Party and what they're going to suffer because of what they've done. Not really, but I thought I would say that because, as you know, the Democratic women yesterday were all wearing black because they thought they convinced us all that they were sad about impeaching our president, which, you know, they continue to even lie and think that we're so stupid that we would believe their garbage. What I'd like to say about, any independent who is out there now, and I know a lot of them have become independents because they didn't like what the Democratic Party was doing and they didn't like what the Republicans were doing. Then we need to talk to them that, hey, you need to engage because your future depends on it. And you can't do it by not committing to taking a stand in what you believe. And so, I'm hopeful that, they're going to realize that and start, committing to being a part of this great republic that we belong to, which has two parties, Democrats and Republicans, and get engaged in making our country better for them, the independents, and for all of us. So, hopefully they're going to do that, Jeff. Some of them, I think they will, because as well as I do, there's a lot of independents out there that left the Republican Party because they didn't have a backbone. They always were on defense, never on offense, and they had gripes. But to make positive changes, you either got to be a part of the solution or you're part of the problem. And so all of you independents out there, especially I think you said it was 364,000 that are conservative, get engaged. Help us make positive changes and help make America great again. Bye, Jeff.
Well said. Well said. Got to go. Hey, thanks, Art. Back in a moment, I'm going to tell you why. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220.
That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We're back. It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. So McConnell is talking about how the president did not have an opportunity to have his counsel present and ask questions during the Trump secret hearings, rather the Schiff show, the Schiff secret hearings in the basement, okay? That's a fairness issue. And how that it took him 12 weeks, whereas Clinton's impeachment was 17 months, folks. Big difference. Very thorough. So I said that I would share with you about something the president said last night that I stridently disagree with. Last night at his campaign rally, he took a mean-spirited shot at the longest-serving member of the House of Representatives, a guy, a Democrat from Michigan, kind of a moderate by the name of John Dingell. He was a big NRA supporter. He's a veteran, World War II guy. He's buried at Arlington National Cemetery. He took an unnecessary shot and was wrong. It was mean-spirited. Now, his wife is a currently serving Democrat congresswoman, took his place. She's been on Fox a couple of times today. And Hogan Gidley, who is, you know, a well-spoken spokesman for the president, was asked about this by Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business this morning, because she had Debbie Dingell on, John Dingell's widow. And, you know, the president reiterated how he called her and offered her his condolences last night, but actually previously when John Dingell had passed away, and that she was very thankful for it and so forth. And then he made fun of her, and then he made fun of John Dingell, you know, maybe looking up from hell. Mr. President, that was completely unnecessary. It was mean-spirited. You didn't need to do that. Here you are with the momentum going your way. That was a mistake, and you should apologize for it. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. This is not right. It made him look bad. Now, John Dingell, yes, was a loyal Democrat, and a lot of things, but come on. That was completely unnecessary. Now, is the president going to apologize? No. It's not who he is. This president has flaws. He's not, we didn't elect a saint to become our leader. We elected a fighter. Well, saying things like that is not fighting. In fact, it hurt his cause. You see, the momentum is going his way. The polls are showing it, and the polls are absolutely unmistakable because they're all showing it. They're all showing that less and less Americans think it is right to impeach Donald Trump. That's why I'm telling you, folks, that Oregon has this massive opportunity to become a lot more purple and a lot less blue. Because there is a momentum here, folks. But I'll tell you, these are unforced errors, to use a baseball term. It was completely unnecessary. He should apologize. He would go a long way to establishing more of his character and reinforcing what the Democrats have done here to so badly smear this man and put him through what they have put him and his family through. It's very much wrong what they have done, but two wrongs don't make a right. Yes, I know Debbie Dingell voted with Nancy Pelosi even before he made that comment. And that's what he was reacting to. I get it, Mr. President, but you should stand up and say, you know what? I misspoke. I said something I shouldn't have said. I apologize. to Debbie Dingell. Now, he's sort of done it one time before. Remember when he made that comment on the campaign trail about Carly Fiorina and her having a face like a horse? Well, he sort of apologized at that next debate. And he should have. Because it was mean-spirited and it was completely unnecessary. So he's a human being. He does these things, which is why he and all of our leaders, including those that we don't like, including Nancy Pelosi, Queen Nancy, why they need our prayers, folks. We're all human beings. And sometimes we just screw it up and we make mistakes. It happens. So I got an email from Rich. He said, the headline is Socialist Democrat Motto. Number one, more taxes, fewer jobs. Vote Social Democrat. Number two, vote and vote as often as you can get away with it. Number three, people are stupid. They believe what we say, not what we do. And he quotes Al Sharpton as saying that. And Sharpton did say that, didn't he? And then I got an email from Tom about the eight votes headline that I referred to in the Oregonian today. Oregon lending eight yes votes about the impeachment. We only have seven members of the congressional delegation. Two of them are senators, didn't even get a chance to vote. Anyway, he writes this. It's a simple math, Jeff. Five members voted. One gave a yes vote to each article, and the four others gave a no vote to each article. There are two articles. That means eight total yes votes. The four no voting members. Yeah. Yeah, that's about as good as the headline. Yeah. Eight yes votes. Yeah, no, it ain't simple math. It ain't simple math. None of it is. Today, friends, is, the New York Post headline is interesting. It's on Drudge Report. It has a picture, Nancy, and here's what it says. Swamp mistress Pelosi dresses in black for historic vote. And then it says in big letters, it's your funeral. But I think what we have to say to the average person that may be persuadable here is that, you know, this president committed no crimes. If there were crimes committed, it would have been in the articles of impeachment. Abusing Congress is not a crime. It is not a reason to impeach a president. Because they would not take the time to go to court because the president said, no, I'm not going to honor your subpoenas because of separation of powers and let the courts sort all of that out. It's been done before. It happened in the Clinton impeachment. As you talk with people, think about that today, the fairness argument. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats didn't conduct a fair impeachment process. We'll be back tomorrow, friends. I hope you will be too. Get out there. Make it a great day.